The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra for Friday, November 27th, 2015. Welcome back to the show. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Get Reading's Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Dan, how's it going, mate?
Not so bad, mate. Yourself? It's been a while.
It has been a while. I've missed you.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, it's, you know, we're getting towards Christmas and, you know, Thanksgiving yesterday in America, so you've got to be thankful for people. So thankful for you rejoining us here on the show.
Very nice.
Obviously, no show. A couple of weeks ago, we were denied. Unfortunately, your little one was a bit unwell. Understandable. And then last week, obviously, there was just a small matter of the Reading manager potentially walking out on the club and then changing his mind. So not that you've been busy or anything.
Yeah, it was a crazy week. It was a crazy end to the week last week, that one that I don't think anyone was really expecting.
No, I remember when we first saw the reports, I think they popped up in the Sun a few days before, and I was thinking, nah, that's not going to happen. And then a couple of days later, the Mirror suddenly went with, Clark's going to get appointed tomorrow. And suddenly you were like, oh dear.
Yeah.
And it all just snowballed.
It all spiraled. Like I said, when that first report in the Sun came out that he was on their shortlist, I think we all sort of looked at it and thought, well, he might be, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not going to happen. It's Fulham. It's, you know, he's happy here. He's building something here. He's not going to look at a championship rival or below us in the table. And then suddenly it all started moving as the week progressed. It all started moving on my day off, I have to admit, as well. I was at home with the little in all day and hadn't even sort of looked in my computer. My phone was in the other room, as it always is when I'm with her, and sort of she's scarping around the house and hadn't really looked at anything for a good few hours. And then I looked at my phone and I suddenly started getting a couple of messages, and I was like, what's going on here? And then it all just sort of kicked into overdrive. I had to put the baby upstairs, get her to sleep quickly and start ringing around. And I couldn't actually believe it after a few phone calls when I started realising, hold on, this is actually happening. And there were people at the very top of Reading who were already beginning to put into place a look for a new manager, and they thought he was gone. And yeah, it all spiraled from there and turned into what was a pretty remarkable 24 hours.
Well, we've sort of got the basic narrative by now. I said the dust has had time to settle, so we all know about the U-turn and decided to stay. And obviously you spoke to him in that rescheduled news conference on Friday where he sort of gave his reasonings. Now that we've had a few days to reflect on it, A, how close do you think he was to going? And B, what's your gut feeling about why he didn't?
It's hard to say what my gut feeling is because, you know, I don't want to put any sort of words in people's mouths and then people think it's gospel. But basically, Reading thought he was gone on Wednesday night, wasn't it? It was Wednesday night.
It was Wednesday, yeah, it was Wednesday.
Thursday morning was when he cancelled the press conference, and then Thursday afternoon was when he decided he wasn't going. But Wednesday night, Reading thought he was gone. Fulham thought they had him. I know that definitely. And I believe on Thursday morning, even as early as Thursday morning, that Fulham were beginning to put in place plans for a press conference later that day where it was going to be announced. And then something happened. Something changed his mind. Obviously, on Thursday morning, we were supposed to speak to him. I'd reached Bearwood when I got a phone call saying, turn around, not happening, go back to the office. And, you know, why that was cancelled at that point, who knows? You know, had he made his decision by then, I doubt it, because I think if he had made his decision by then he probably would have wanted to face the press, you'd have thought, and say what was happening. He didn't, but he did take training that day, and at some point during that day he decided it wasn't for him. For what reason that is, I don't think anyone can say that apart from Clark, and what he said is that he felt Reading was a better place for him than Fulham. He sort of went there, had a discussion, weighed it all up and decided Reading was the place to be. Whether you believe in him or not, I think, you know, we're going to kind of have to. That's what he said. I know the report came out from, who's it, Wayne Vasey?
The Football Insider.
Yeah, he's been around London. I mean, he's a very sort of London-based journalist. He's been around for a long time. Look at a lot of the stories on that Football Insider, and I take him all with a pinch of salt. He does lots about Arsenal. I've always, you know, I know Wayne Vasey. I know what he's about, and a lot of his stories, they don't come to much at all. Other things, bizarrely, he's very good on Arsenal team news. I know that. Why that is, I'm not sure. But a lot of stuff is very, it doesn't ring true to me, a lot of the stuff he does. But he's come out with this report. I put it to Clark yesterday. I got the report on my phone. I said, look, I think you deserve a chance to reply to this. It's obviously come out and contradicts exactly what you said. And he completely poured scorn on it, said he didn't even get the agent's name right in the article, his agent's name right in the article, and he says that says it all. And he said it was rubbish. And, you know, again, I think we've just got to believe him. The problem is, can we believe Steve Clarke? Can a lot of supporters believe Steve Clarke at the moment? Because that trust that was there has definitely been burnt. And I think he has to accept that he's got an awful lot of rebuilding to do now before fans trust him again and believe what he says again.
Yeah, and I put this question to Westy and Handbags on the main edition of the show on Monday night, and I'll put it to you as well. Do you think Steve Clarke will be managing Reading Football Club on the opening day of next season?
I think a lot of that depends on where what league Reading Football Club are playing in next season, or how they've done in the Championship. You know, if they've got very close to the playoff places and are looking like a decent team, then I don't see why not. But I think there's a massive question mark hanging over that, because I think he's burnt, like I said, burnt a lot of bridges with fans. A lot of fans don't trust him. I'm not sure a lot of fans will ever trust him again. It's just what happens in football. And you have to say the owners, quite rightly, are probably furious about what has happened. And so, there's a massive question mark. I think they'll certainly be looking at him and in a different light. I'm sure they will. And I'm sure he knows that. And it's up to him now to sort that out. And the only way he's going to sort that out is by winning games and possibly, like he says, getting promotion, because that's what he says he owes to Reading. And that's what you've got to think he might well have to achieve if he wants to still be here next season.
Yeah, well, expectations have certainly gone up. But at least he got off to the right start, especially, well, results-wise, he got off to the best start. They beat Bolton last Saturday 2-1. Wasn't the greatest game of football we've ever watched. And I don't know how it was like in the press box, but I could barely feel my fingers and toes by the end of the game. But they got the 3 points they needed. What did you make of it?
First of all, it was freezing. Like, beyond freezing. Honestly, by the end of it, I just... Having a tie pool game, it's just...
I had to stop tweeting. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get my fingers out of my gloves.
It was just an absolute mission. I can't remember being as cold as that. Even in the darkest depths of winter last year, even the Huddersfield away on Tuesday night, when it was freezing. But this one was... Oh, it was Baltic, wasn't it? And I think that sort of... It just... The whole day was fairly subdued. I think, obviously, what had happened with Clarke had an effect on the fans. I think it was a subdued atmosphere. And it was freezing cold. It was one of those games where you want to kind of sit on your hands just to warm yourself up. So... it was difficult in terms of making a real sort of atmosphere around the place. The game, Reading started badly, whether that was because of what had happened in the 48 hours before, I don't know. But, you know, they relied on Ali El-Habsi to keep them in the game. Thankfully, he did that. And then, fair play, Reading, they went up, they sort of got into the game, got themselves 2 goals in front. And in the end, they sort of hung on, it got nervy. It weren't a great performance, but I don't think it was ever going to be a great performance. I think that game was so important for so many reasons that the result was just all that mattered in that one. I think the players knew that. The manager knew that. I think the fans even knew that they just had to win that game. They had to end that winless run. They had to, after what had happened, they had to try and take the pressure off Steve Clarke. And I think they did what they had to do, and that was get 3 points.
Yeah, well, we'll come on to the Forest and QPR games, the next steps in his rehabilitation, if you want to call it that, in the next few minutes. But just quickly, I noticed that Steve Clarke gave a bit of an injury update now. Steve's injury updates are, I don't know how to put this, sketchy.
Yes, I think this one is one you can actually rely on.
Okay,
it's not to do with actual sort of team news for the weekend. It's more of a long-term forecast for the long-term absentees. So I think this one, I can't imagine he's playing many tricks with this one, because it's not, I don't think Dougie Freeman's going to be looking at it and thinking, oh, they're going to be involved on Saturday. So yeah, no, it was just a long-term. It's basically, I think it was Howe is back on the pitch, training pitch, not really with the full squad yet, but he's back out on the grass. Stephen Quinn's supposed to be back out on the grass next week. Aaron's a little bit further behind, but he sort of looked at the whole game, which I think is about December 16th, December 17th, so Wednesday night, isn't it?
It's on the TV.
Yeah, that's the game he was looking at for Howe. I think Stephen Quinn, again, might be sort of week behind that, and then Tish Bowler just behind, but basically he said that he thought all three, as things stand, he hopes to have them all back involved by the turn of the year. So probably... as he said a couple of weeks ago, the last time, you know, I think everyone seems to be on track for coming back when they were expected to.
Yeah, well, the loan deadline passed yesterday. There were no additions made. Not a massive amount of surprise. I know there are a few whispers about Liam Bridcutt and a couple of others, but nothing ever serious. Obviously, they've got that problem where they've already got 6 loanees, so one's had to be left out at the moment. So not a massive surprise that he didn't bring anyone else in. But he seemed fit to see quite a few youngsters go over the past few weeks. Are you surprised that he's let quite so many go? I mean, Tariq Fossey was someone that was very much thought of highly in the summer. Dominic Samuel obviously is a guy who's got goals as well. And then Jack Stacey and Novakovic, who, you know, possibly more along the lines of what you'd think. But are you surprised that quite so many have gone?
No. I think what's the point in them sticking around and playing in under-21s if he doesn't see that they're ready to play in the first team, which he clearly doesn't because he's not playing them, then they may as well go. They're at that stage now that the 21s isn't going to really help their development. And so get them out there. Look at what Aaron Tischbowler did last season when he went to Hartlepool. He's, you know, in the space of sort of 6 short months, he's turned himself from a player who Clark didn't see was fit to be around the first team squad to a player who was warranting a starting spot in his team. And so why not do that? I mean, they're not all long-termers. I think you look at Samuel was just 28 days, wasn't it? I think Fosu and Stacey's just... and Novakovic just maybe a little bit longer. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if they do get extended when they come to the end of those ones. But no, I'm not surprised at all. I think it's a good move for him. And already look what's happening. Fosu's gone out there, got a couple assists and a goal in 3 games. Done fantastically. Samuel, again...
He got a goal on his debut as well.
Goal on his debut. Really good assist in midweek as well. As Gillingham won, Clark travelled over to watch that game as well. I think he was stuck in the M25 for about 3 hours, so at least it was worth it. He saw Samuel do something, and Clark, you went and watched Fosu play against Peterborough as well, so he's getting around. You know, he's not forgetting about these lads when he sends them out. He's keeping track on exactly how they're doing and going and watching them himself. So no, very, I think it's well worth it. If they're not going to be involved in the first team, then get them out on loan, get them playing senior football.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of loanees, Michael Hector's name has popped up in a few reports this week with one of the people linked to the Reading ownership saying that Chelsea apparently wanted him back, but the Reading are hopeful of keeping him. I know you put this question to Clark again yesterday. What did he have to say about it?
We said he's got no indication that Mourinho wants him back. I've got to say, it would very much surprise me if there was anything in this. I mean, why would Mourinho want Hector back? Is he going to play? Got to say no. He's not going to be starting for Chelsea in the second half of the season as they're going for the Champions League and trying to get themselves back towards the top four. And that's no disrespect to Michael Hector, but the guy's never played in the Premier League before. Is he really going to walk into that Chelsea starting 11? I highly doubt it. So what's the point in going back? Leave him at Reading where he's playing. It just doesn't make much sense to me at all. It's a weird one that because it came from obviously a report over on Goal. I think it's a Thailand Goal where the name of the Reading director, it's not one of the owners, but I think it is actually, it's Sumrith who's been quoted, although his name has been given as Samrit. It's a different name. You know, who's known as Tiger, who owns 25%. I'm pretty sure it's him who, certainly that piece I saw that you transcribed, you did. Again, it was the same name. They called him Samrith Thaniksura or something, but I think that it is actually Sumrith, the owner who owns 25%, that they've interviewed. I'm pretty sure it is. Clark seemed to think so because I asked him that. I said I didn't recognise the name, and he said no, it is the owner that they've spoke to. But he said he's had no indication at all from Chelsea. And you've got to think if Chelsea are going to make in sort of requests or put in something saying that we might have him back in January, they're not going to be contacting
the
Thailand.
The only interesting thing that I thought was interesting this week was that Carabao announced that they were linking up with Chelsea as well. So I don't know whether, because obviously Reading's owners are quite close with those. I don't know whether there was sort of chatting around that sort of deal. I don't know whether it was just informal chatting around that. That was the only thing maybe I could think of, perhaps. But it does seem a strange one.
You wouldn't have thought they'd suddenly go to Thailand to talk to about Michael Hector. You know, Chelsea wanted him back.
He's a big name, Charles. He's a £4 million player.
I know, but the first point of call would be Nick Hammond or Steve Clark,
absolutely,
wouldn't it? It wouldn't be to Thailand to one of the owners. So it was just all seemed a little bit strange to me, and I just can't see why Chelsea would want to take him back in January. I don't see how that will help A, their season, and B, Michael Hector's development. I think he's very much better suited to staying at Reading, where he's going to be playing pretty much week in, week out, or certainly fighting for a spot to be playing week in, week out, which I just don't think he's going to do at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, unless there's a big injury to Terry or Cahill or Zouma, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense. And of course, unless Mourinho's thinking in the back of his head, well, this season's a little bit of a write-off, but I can't see them putting
the... doing that.
No, not in November.
Mourinho's not going to write off a season, no chance. So, you know, they're not... There's no way that they're out of the top race for the top four. You've got to think they're probably out of the race for the title because it would take about 4 or 5 teams to drop a hell of a load of points. But I can't see that they're out of the race for the top four in November, no matter how far behind they are. I remember Arsenal being about 9 points behind Tottenham in March in the top four race and turning it around. So there's no way Mourinho will be calling putting a line through this season already. No chance.
No. Well, just before we move on then to look at those Forest and QPR games, just a quick update on the trialists we had. Obviously, we had Kevin Foley, former Wolves fullback, on trial, as well as Dylan Powers from the Colorado Rapids. Any updates with the two of those?
Well, Powers' trial was extended for a week. He's still here, I can tell, because he was tweeting yesterday about how rubbish the Sky Sports NFL coverage was. I know, he said it was like they were broadcasting to six-year-olds or something. So I think that's the classic sort of trying to explain American football to an English audience. But say he's still here. He's doing very well. Clark extended it by a week. Obviously, he can stay for as long as he wants, really, because the season's finished for him over in the LMLS. Colorado didn't make the playoffs. So he's over here. Nothing can happen with this one till January, but it certainly seems like he's making a bit of an impression. Foley's gone. He's left the club now. He had a trial, but Reading didn't decide to take it on. But I think Powers is certainly something that we could be looking at seeing possibly turn into a permanent move in January. He's a player who was tipped, not really tipped off, but he was someone that I'm not sure exactly what scout did it. Maybe it was even Kevin Doyle.
He did have good things to say about him on Twitter.
Yeah, so someone got in touch with Red and said, look, you should be taking a look at this guy. And so they invited him over. They've had him for a couple of weeks. They've extended it by a week. And Clark was very sort of glowing in his praise for him, saying, he's a really decent midfielder, can get around the pitch. Sees him more as an attacking midfielder than a defensive midfielder, but he said he's got the capability to get all over the pitch. So yeah, I think that could be something we could look at possibly happening in January.
Do you expect much business in January? I know obviously it's very hard to predict, but obviously you've had conversations with Nigel Howe and you've got the mood of Steve Clark and generally looking at the squad. Do you think Reading will be that active?
I think they'll be active. I don't think they'll be majorly active. I don't think they really need to be. And they've got a big squad and they've got, three very important players coming back, hopefully before January as well, which is only going to help that. I do think they could do with another forward. I've said that long. Not so much. I mean, when I say forward, I mean a real sort of out and out striker, someone
a Lafondra type.
Yeah, well, maybe not even that. It depends, because I'm not sure a Lafondra type fits into this formation that Clark plays. More of a sort of strong centre forward who can provide competition for Saar, because I like Saar. He's doing well, but he's not. He scored 5 goals, 3 of those in one game. He's not exactly banging them in, but I do think he plays a really important role in the team. But I just think if he got injured, given the formation Reading play, I think they lack in another real sort of strong striker who can lead the line, who can play with his back to goal, who can, feed the midfield like Saar did for Williams' goal last week. He was the one who had his back to goal, held off the defender, played the ball into Williams' path. And he plays a really important role in that side. And I just do worry if he gets injured that it's going to really affect Reading and how they play, given the formation that Clark plays. So I think that could be something they could look at.
Yeah, I noticed they were linked with an Arsenal striker loan as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's that sort of striker. Again, he's someone who plays off the front man more. The few times I've seen him, I saw him in the Emirates Cup and he was very impressive. Scored in the win against Lyon and stuff. But you look at that, he's never really played. I think he's played 2 or 3 sub appearances for us this season, coming off the bench. Is he someone who's going to come in a promotion chasing team in the second half of the season in the Championship and take to it like ducks of water and make a real impact? Probably not. I look at that thinking when Afobe came to Reading, maybe it was a little bit too early for him, and you saw what happened a couple of years later. He turned into a very decent player, but I'm not sure signing Awobi on loan is going to be the difference between Reading maybe missing out on the playoffs and making it.
Yeah, well, one to watch then. So let's move on then. 2 big Championship games coming up within a week. Starts with a trip to Forest, and then we welcome QPR live on the telly, because Reading v QPR has to be on the telly. Always has to be on the telly. That's it on means a Thursday
it,
night.
It means that Gareth McCleary is going to score a 30-yarder, though, soon.
Oh, let's hope so. I'm sure some Forest fans would love to see him score a 30-yarder, or maybe not. How do you see these two games going? I'll start with your thoughts on the team, because the only real selection issues, I suppose, at the moment seems to be in that back four, with both Jordan Obita and Anton Ferdinand left out on Saturday. Do you think either will return?
I certainly don't think Obita will return. No, in fact, I don't think either of them will return. I think he'll be the same back four that played last week. I think Taylor warrants his place in the first team at the moment. I think it'd be harsh on him if he lost his spot, and he's sort of called for a run in the side. And I think Clark's probably going to give him one now, and until he starts making some mistakes, I think Peter's going to have to probably bide his time, possibly come on more as a sort of attacking player from substitutes bench at the moment. And I think Hexter's probably going to carry on at the moment. I'm not sure Ferdinand, he is fit. He's fully fit. He wasn't injured last week, but Clark just felt, given that he was going to start Hexter, that he thought Cooper would be a better bet on the bench, because if Bolton started pumping the balls long as they did, he'd wanted to bring him on and he'd be better at dealing with that than Ferdinand. So no, I think pretty much we're going to see a very similar side to the one that won last week. I don't think you can leave McCleary out now. I think he has to start given his performance last week.
Any chance of Matty Vidra coming back into the starting lineup?
Maybe. Apparently he's had a good week training. I mean, this knee problem is a little bit worrying with Vidra. It's when you start hearing about players having to have injections to sort of get themselves fit, you do worry. And Clark says he's had a good week, although he couldn't train yesterday because of it. And
yeah,
you start worrying with these sort of things. And obviously they're paying a lot of money for him on a loan fee. And are they trying to avoid maybe putting him under knife to fix this problem because they don't want him out for 2 months or something like that? And you know, Clark's not saying that, and I'm not a medical man, but you do just start worrying a little bit when you start hearing stories like this, that you look at sort of cortisone injections, that sort of thing, to get him through. Is that, and let's face it, and the injury came in the Bristol City game, and since that match he's not been the same player.
No, he's got one goal in 3 months.
Yeah, but those first games I thought he was brilliant against
Ipswich. Yeah,
Ipswich was brilliant, and he just looks dynamite around that pitch, and I thought he was really good at Bristol City as well, and that's the game he got the injury. And since then he's not quite been the same player, and you have to wonder if that knee problem is going to be something that niggles at him pretty much for the rest of the season.
Fingers crossed not, because he is that big cog. I mean, that was the signing that we all looked at on deadline day and said, this is the difference maker signing. Yeah. You know, all the other ones were nice. They were nice sort of additions. But this was the guy that would turn you from top six contender into a top two contender. And it's no surprise that obviously since that injury, since he's gone off the boil again, Sir Reading, they've slipped down the table. So
he's, like you said, he was the man when that signing came up on deadline day. That was the signing. I thought, this is Reading have got a real chance. So you just got to look at his goal scoring record. You know, he knows exactly what it is to score goals in this league, and he's not a bad player. I see it. He's been getting a lot of grief on sort of social media and stuff like that, but for his performances. But you can't doubt his quality. You can't doubt his record. He's a proven goal scorer in this division, and the sooner Reading get him fit and firing, the better it's going
to
be.
Absolutely. Well, let's time to put it on the line then, Charles. You are the current prediction league leader after correctly predicting a win over Bolton.
Ollie Norwood ruined it for me. I was on for a
you were
for spot on result until he dove in like that and gave away a penalty. I like Norwood, but he went down in my estimations after that.
Yeah, well, you hold a 1 point lead over myself, and then three up on Johnny. Westy and Handbags propping up the league 10 points behind you. So no worry of them catching you for the time being. So at the moment, I've predicted a 1-1 draw for Forest. Westy has gone for a 2-1. Forest win, and Dave went for a 2-1 win to Reading.
I'm going to go 0-0.
0-0. Okay. Do you want to give your QPR prediction now, or do you want to see how we get on at Forest?
No. It's too important for that. I'll wait closer to the time.
Fair enough. You can see what we all predict on the main show that will come out hopefully Monday. So see if you can follow us or predict something different. Anyway, thanks very much for that, Charles. Good to have you back on the show again. Hopefully we'll do this again next Friday, where we'll have a very quick turnaround between games, really.
Yes. God, it's going to be strange. Yeah, next Friday, it's going to... All the reaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thursday night game. What is that about?
I don't know. It's weird. I like it, though, because I'm working over the weekend, so I wouldn't have been able to go. So this is they've done well. They've done well for once.
It is actually quite nice. Yes, I'm going to have the weekend to myself, so that is nice. But, yeah, Thursday night football. Sky Sports, eh? Who'd work for them?
Indeed. And on that very note, we will leave it there. Charles, thank you very much indeed for joining me. As I said, hopefully we'll be back next Friday. Obviously, keep an eye on the Twitter feed, as I don't think we predicted the sort of carnage that would happen the last two Fridays to cause us to miss this show. So hopefully, plain sailing for the weekend. But have a cracking weekend, mate, and I'll speak to you next week.
You too. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetarlhurstend
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.